All right,
what's up, everybody? We are live. This is the IBN NFL, or sorry, college football. I'm ahead of the game. The IBN College Football Podcast. I'm going to share this link real quick in the group, and then we'll be good to go. Patrick, how you doing today?
I'm good. I'm real good. How about you?
I'm good. It's going to be twofold. We'll do the podcast live, and then I'll upload, you know, the recording tomorrow. One second while I share this. We are live. So week zero, reactions. Let's go ahead and get that out the way. Week zero reaction. What was your initial reaction on the Navy-Notre Dame game?
Initial reaction. Navy is going to be extraordinarily terrible. They are going to be bad. Year one, they are starting at the foundations, laying the cornerstones, so it's going to be bad. It's going to be very bad, and whatever Notre Dame did to them, that does not indicate anything about if they are a playoff team or not.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little concerning that they were able to just bully. Like, I mean, it was expected, but like just the level of bullying that they did was to me a little unexpected. Like, thought I'd get at least one stop, you know, and I didn't care too much for their quarterback on Navy. Like, if you're going to run the option offense, man, and you're the quarterback, you got to want to get hit. And so basically, like, you got to expect to get hit. It's like running backs in the play action. Like, you got to sell it. And I think there was quite a few times where he just didn't seem like he wanted that contact. And it just kind of affected how the reads went, how the option went. And at the end of the day, if Navy can't run their option, they're just not going to be successful. And that's been Navy football through and through. I'm happy to see they didn't get too much away from the option offense.
Yeah, I saw them going with that more of a spread option, shotgun spread options. It looked a little similar to the Coastal, but not executed nearly as well.
Well, they don't have the Coastal quarterback, who's basically the GOAT.
Who actually will run and put his shoulder down.
The GOAT of spread option.
Hey, that's the jean shorts Redneck Riviera King right there, man.
Yeah, I just put We Are Live like twice. They're going to think I'm a bot. Not only that, I forgot that I did the everyone tag in the other thread. I am just all out of sorts. You know, doing this after you work a full shift is not the same as doing this when you're on your day off.
Also, you got kids too, man. I'm childless over here.
Oh, my God.
The
kids don't really matter. Speaking of kids, subplot. Is Hawaii trending up? I for what it's worth, me as a gambler and a college football fan, I miss the old Hawaii. And I thought they were getting back to some of those elements from what I saw in the Vandy game.
Yeah, I liked what you were saying earlier that the new time rules with the running first down, that kind of ruined a little bit of their momentum and some scoring potential in the second half. But that run and shoot looks good.
Yeah, it looked fluid. That's what I was looking for. Just people looking comfortable. The tempo was there. If it was the old rules, I really think that they would have came back and won.
Also, to fly, what, 5-6 different time zones? Because Hawaii's, you know, way out in the middle of the Pacific. And on a delay, against a team that's all right, they're Vandy, but they got some talent.
Did you notice that Vandy's stadium isn't done yet?
Yeah. Did you see the Jumbotron was held up by a crane?
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, dang. Yeah, that's not gonna be done till next year.
Yeah, and it looks like it'll be cool. Kind of funny that they're getting a state-of-the-art stadium. But, hey, that's SEC money. Everybody's getting a part of that. And for what it's worth, I was a little disappointed in Vandy. They just beat Hawaii by like a million points last year and then just barely got out of it this year. So kudos to Hawaii. I only mention them because I will be talking about them later on as well.
And a certain Lincoln Riley also debuted.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to talk about Lincoln because they did what they were supposed to do. I mean, what did people expect? Like, USC's defense is gonna be porous, and their offense is gonna have to score 50 plus a game. I mean, it's a Lincoln Riley team. I don't know. Maybe it's because he likes Grinch so much. And I'm saying this as a USC fan, air quotes. but part of the reason why they just like you gotta play defense in order to win a championship. You have to be able to stop people, and not the Georgia Bama defenses or even the Clemson defense where you got to hold people to under 21. Like, no, if you can just get a stop with the offense that can put up as many points as USC, that's good enough. I mean, look at his Oklahoma team that lost to Georgia. They just needed a stop. Yeah.
LSU 2019 LSU, their defense went fantastic. It was got him a couple stops and let the offense do the rest.
Yeah, just need a stop. So I wasn't impressed or like concerned at all. It just looked the same from a gambling standpoint, because it's your hot take, but I will throw in my hot take. From a gambling standpoint, I don't think the clock really mattered to the tempo efficiency teams like USC. No. Hawaii, if they pick up their efficiency, I think they'll still get about 35-42 a game. The overs will still pop on those types of teams. You do need a dance partner, though. And that's why the Navy over-under was such a sweat, because they needed Navy to score. The tempo wasn't that great. But one team scoring a lot, another team ain't even crossing midfield. That'll be an issue. Ben said that people were complaining about it as far as coaches and stuff. I don't think it matters. I think what it will do is expose the bad play callers because you don't get as many possessions.
I feel like run heavy teams, those coaches will complain a lot.
I mean, I don't know. Only if they get down, like
if they're up like a score, they're gonna milk it for all it's worth. Because
yeah, like I mean, that's honestly what we're gonna see. It might make it more boring, but these are the rules. God. I know.
Did you make the Big Ten West more Big Ten?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, the first thing that popped in my head was like Illinois, Iowa type stuff. But these are the rules now. I don't think to the elite offenses is going to really matter. I don't think it's going to really matter to Maction either, but it did. Again, the one game I thought it did matter was Hawaii versus Vandy. So there's that. Moving into week one. First game we got up week one that we wanted to talk about was Nebraska at Minnesota. Looking at the lines, because for some reason I didn't put the lines on the ticker.
Still 7-2 Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't understand why you let me do that. You're a bad co-host.
Yeah, I know. In words. Just in words. Just sitting here riding.
We can't say that on this.
I said N-word. I didn't say the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh. Chill out, Urban Meyer. That's that Florida in you. That Swamp King stuff right there. You Urban Meyer, Riley Cooper types. Keep that out the show. Nebraska at Minnesota. Everybody knows the big story in Nebraska. Frost is out. Rule is in. There's got to be a pun in there somewhere. Minnesota.
You're celebrating.
Yeah. Minnesota is bringing back PJ Fleck, obviously. Starter-wise, Nebraska's returning 15 starters, 7 on offense, 8 on defense. Minnesota returning 13 starters, 7 on offense, 6 on defense. The game is at 8 p.m. on Fox. I got the line right now still at 7. And the over under at 43.5. Yep, 42.5, 43 on some books. Been a lot of action on that spread. And, you know, I talked about it a little bit on the radio show today and then in the chat. Went down to 6.5, got some pushback from Minnesota backers, went back up to 7.5, and now you see it back down to 7. Percentage-wise, hasn't changed much. Nebraska's still getting a plus 27% differential between the tickets and the amount of money put on them. But, and I say but because I'm back in Minnesota here, there's been a 2% increase, quietly a 2% increase of money on Minnesota. What's your take on the game, and do you have a play for this game?
Really interested to see if Nebraska starts off like a Matt Rule team, like pass protection is, you know, starts off really well because that's, you know, that's been a staple of his. He usually gets that fixed first. Jeff Sims, he's got some experience, good dual threat, but I really want to see how good he actually is because, you know, he had Jahmyr Gibbs at Georgia Tech and he was also at Georgia Tech. So, yeah, he's a question mark. He's a question mark. But on the other side, at least we know we've seen him before. We do not know anything about what this Minnesota quarterback's going to look like. This is their first time in what feels like 12 years without Tanner Morgan.
Yeah, Tanner Morgan was there forever and a day.
I'm sure that man got like 3 masters and a law degree.
So, again, not having too much data. And if you hear pages turning, that's just me running through the book. Because, again, we're doing like 15 games. I got notes and everything, but I still need to take a look. But the there's not much data on Matt Rule's like opening games. From gambling perspective, like season openers, I think that trend typically does matter. But what I do like from Minnesota in relation to this matchup is that they're still returning a hefty line. Like, they're still big boys up front. Now, to be fair, Nebraska held their own last year against big boys, and actually two of those offensive linemen ended up going to the next level. So it's not like Nebraska got run over, per se. I think the score was 20-13 last year at Nebraska. And I want to say Minnesota was a 14-point favorite. So that was a good cover for Nebraska. I think they had to they ended up coming back a little and covering that. But what I highlighted in my talk in the chat and what I'm highlighting here, the reason why I'm going contrarian on this particular bet, and I just saw a 1% switch in the middle of our conversation. But the reason why I'm going to, because I don't usually do this.
True DGen right here, people. True DGen.
Yeah, I know. I don't usually do this, but I just have concerns. The same reason why I didn't jump with Navy. There was so much money and hope in them covering that 20.5. And I was like, you got a first-year coach, new system. Oh, well, not even new system, but this is different. This is
everything looked like it was not going to go right for Navy. Yeah, everything.
And in this case, it's not Rule's first rodeo, but I'm sure he's going to have to make some kind of adjustment back to the college game. And for what it's worth, I think it's going to take a couple games. And a highlight, they did switch to the 3-3-5. The defensive coordinator is from Syracuse, and if you look at when he started running 3-3-5 there, it took a couple seasons for it to actually pick up. And then, you know, by the time he was done, I think they were a top 30 defense statistically. But the ACC and the Big Ten are two totally different. Like, it's two totally different things. You ain't going to see anything close to what you're going to see with Minnesota in the ACC. Just the size of the line. And just the style of play is just not there anymore. So I like I said, I went contrarian. It's one of those games. If you're taking the points with Nebraska, that would be financially the safer play. Arguably the smarter play if you're looking at trends. Minnesota's 5-3 straight up, but 2-5-1 in season openers against the spread. They are 7-3 straight up in this series and 6-4 against the spread. But again, my thing is you got some stylistic differences here. Their power game versus the 3-3-5 and just new implements of offense and defense in Nebraska. Nebraska returning 15 starters, but is that really advantageous when it's 15 guys that are going to be running something totally different? Philosophically, totally different. Rule and Frost.
To be fair, though, Nebraska did supplement a decent, air quotes, decent recruiting class for them with some good transfers. And Matt Rule knows how to, he knows how to get a lot out of his roster. I will give him that.
Minnesota's quarterback is nicknamed the Greek Gunslinger. And I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. And I'm sorry I didn't look it up.
Seven and six confirmed.
But he is a dual threat QB. He's a dual threat QB. Made his debut last year in the whiteout game against Penn State and led the comeback.
Look how that went for him.
Yeah, but led the comeback to beat Nebraska last year. So there's that. Also, bro, whiteout, your first game, whiteout, that's tough.
That's
tough.
Set up for failure. They set that kid up to just get embarrassed.
But either way, that's going to be an interesting game this Thursday. Not to be outdone, your Florida Gators travel to number 14, Utah. A game that'll be 8 p.m. on ESPN. Dude, this is a hot mess in the sense that we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. We kind of know, but we don't know. I mean, the gamblers don't know. The players might know who. I don't know. If anybody knows, just Utah's coach knows, maybe.
I mean, does he even know?
Yeah,
I'm not even sure Cam Rising knows if he's playing or not.
Yeah, my thing is, it was like 2 weeks ago when I was looking at the he was limited in practice, hadn't taken any live drills with the ones, just kind of like, well, any live scrimmages with the ones. And then the QB situation got so dire because the second string quarterback got hurt, but it got so bad that they ended up like pretty much not having like contact practices because they didn't want to risk any injury. So
Grant Keithy's out as well.
Yeah.
Or he is I don't know now because conflicting reports. I don't know if he's questionable or if he is out.
But. Yeah. So it's just all over the place. The over under in this game is 44.5 right now. The spread is 6.5 to the home team, Utah. But what's the spread? If Rising doesn't play, man, I went ahead and put Florida money line just because I'm like 75% sure that he ain't gonna play, and I'm 90% sure that if he does play, he's gonna be very hindered by the ACL recovery, the brace, and all that. Like, you know, it's gonna take. I think
there's
it's gonna
no be smart some reason for him to play, to be honest.
I don't think so either. But
all right, you lose to Florida at home, game one, big whoop. You leave the for the Big 12 next year, right? Keep save them for when you have Pac-12 play and you can go out with a three-peat to kill the conference.
Yeah, part of me thinks the coach is gonna play it safe. But
yeah, I mean this. All right, you lose to Florida. Everyone's gonna be like, oh well, no one's really gonna care because everyone's gonna talk about last year. It's not. It's really not going to impact you that much.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to drop a game, dropping it early is better than dropping it late for sure.
And non-con, so.
But with that being said, how good is Utah's third and fourth string quarterbacks? Nobody really knows.
I mean, well, we saw them. We saw him in that Rose Bowl. That man looks scared to death.
I can't use that like one game sample or just that like drop in sample. You know, it's a tough situation for anybody. It's a tough situation for seniors. This guy was a walk on. The third stringer was a walk on.
Yeah. Also, he got dropped in against Penn State. That's not a defense you want to be dropped in on out of the blue.
Yeah. So, I'm on Florida. I got it plus 220. And then I took them on the spread, but I bought the spread up to 7.5 because for some reason FanDuel wasn't trying to give me 7. I was like, all right, I'll take 7.5. But with that being said, Mertz sucks. I'm not betting on him.
Mertz is literally there to hand the ball to Etienne.
Yeah.
And Johnson. That's all he's going to do. Throw a screen to Pearsall, throw like a little out or a dig to like one of the tight ends.
I think I got y'all at 12 returning starters, 12 or 13.
Might be a little high.
Utah, it might be 11, actually. Utah's at 16 returning starters. I had it, like, I got two separate notes. That's why I'm like, some of my notes are here incomplete. but yeah, it's about six and five. The main thing is you're missing Anthony Richardson, but you got NTN back, and I think there's a receiver Montrell, by committee.
Receiver yeah, by Montrell committee, Johnson's you know, back. So, the tight end room improved. We got some young guys in who are a lot more athletic than the ones we had in the last couple of years. Yeah, young freshmen who looked good in practice. We'll see when the bullets start flying, and got some good transfers in linebacker and at the defensive line. So hopefully it doesn't like give out like a sieve like last year. Because Jesus Christ, they couldn't stop the cutback run for anything.
Are you is your tight end room still full of killers? Or are you good now?
I wish it was. We ain't got no felons, man. I'm mad.
Oh man, Billy runs a clean program, bro.
I'm not happy about it.
So real quick, you thought Central Michigan versus Michigan State might be an upset alert. I disagreed, so I did not put it in here.
I just don't trust anything Michigan State's doing. They lost their quarterback.
Yeah, Central Michigan sucks, but they've been pretty decent against the spread versus Power Five schools in openers. But I'm not
consistent.
I'm not touching it.
My thing, I don't have any confidence that there's any consistency around what's going on at Michigan State. Like, you lost your quarterback and kind of lost him late in the portal too. Like, you didn't lose him. When did Peyton Thorne leave? May?
He's terrible,
but that starter's a starter.
Mel Tucker,
do they have better to replace him?
Mel Tucker might be Black Jimbo.
Oh, no.
As far as how much money they spent for him and what they've gotten out of it, that's what I equate it to when I look at him. I'm like, dude, that's like they paid you a lot of money, man. Like they thought they had a home run, and it has been a foul tip into the glove. I can do a cross sport reference. It's not went well. So
let them go 4-8. It will be a hard R in Lansing.
Man, yeah,
it'll be a hard R city in Lansing, man.
So, rolling into the next game, we're in the Friday night's games now. Friday, 7:30, we took up the ACC, Louisville, Georgia Tech. What I did not put in the ticker, this is a neutral site game. It is in Atlanta. I think in the
neutral
site. Yeah, the Falcon Stadium. I think it's
Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah. So
again, neutral site.
Brom is back. Is that right? Back.
Yeah.
Brom is back. It hasn't been a lot of hype behind it. I guess the sequel's never as good as the original. So, he's back. Louisville's returning 13 starters. Obviously not having Malik Cunningham. Georgia Tech is returning 12 starters. Both teams, the majority of their starters are on the defensive side of the ball. I didn't have this on my radar But I am, I think I might give Coach Key a dollar or two here.
Oh, you might?
Yeah, I think I want to see something, man. He ended the season 4-3 last year when he took the team over, but they beat Pittsburgh, Duke, and UNC. So the kids clearly responded to his personality, coaching style, and so forth. And then they've had a full offseason. I wonder, more so from the defensive side of the ball, if they've got enough to slow down this potential Louisville offense.
See, I just think Louisville's got – I think they just got too much talent. Like, I do think Georgia Tech is – he's got something going. He, like you said, that's like three good wins right there from last year. They got something going. They're probably going to make a bowl game this year, but Louisville might be an 8-win team.
I mean, that's up in the air. Brom obviously knows how to, like, he has a very QB friendly system. Yeah. He's familiar with the university and the type of players that they have and so forth and so on. So transition. I
mean, he is who they wanted. Like, they kind of, like, silently chased Satterfield to a pretty much an equal peg job.
Yeah, so transition here I don't think is going to be like transition at, like, say, Rule in Nebraska. I don't think philosophically you're going to have much difference here. But with that being said, I got my eye on Coach Key. Especially when you think this air quote neutral site field is not really neutral site, and Georgia Tech has a little bit of heart, man. Like, I think, again, I just think that showed. They beat UNC at UNC. Like, that should be considered a big day. We're 21-point dogs.
To be fair, UNC can't play defense.
But it was 21-17, so they slowed him down, and that was still a good offense, and he's returning seven starters from that defense back this year, and I think the biggest improvement for them last year was as they got more comfortable with his coaching style was kind of the defensive side of the ball started to get stops. So again, it has potential to be a more entertaining game than I think people would have anticipated when they first looked on the schedule. But leaning to Georgia Tech points, and then also, I don't know why I'm so contrarian this week, man. This can't be good. But also, the over-under is at 48.5. I mean, the money's saying under. The money's saying under. Say.
No, I wouldn't take that over, just especially on week one.
I'm not. But you know what else, though? You know what else is an interesting thing, too? There was a healthy trend last year in these midweek spots. They're not technically midweek, but in the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday spots, home dogs. There was a good trend there last year. I remember that specifically. Like, they were covering at a landslide, so I would keep that in mind. A lot of our upset alerts, site. Yeah, but I'm not listening to that nonsense. A lot of our upset alerts came off of games like that. Just I think there was one game last year in particular. I'll probably remember after we get off the podcast, where I specifically was like, I'm just going to pick the home team as a outright upset, just because they've been covering and winning these games. So pay attention to that. As this season starts, these Thursday, Friday games, or even the Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesdays when Maction starts, keep an eye on those home dogs. There is an advantage there. The next game I put
the
in
Friday because, nightcap.
Yeah, the Friday nightcap. Because I don't care. It's my show, and I want them to come back. The Midnight Matinee, Hawaii. Stanford versus Hawaii. Everybody knows I hate Stanford. Stanford is actually favored by 3.5, and I am here to tell you I am playing Hawaii money line and taking my points.
Yep.
I love what I saw out of them.
Yeah, especially if they can keep it going early, get started early. This might actually get bad for Stanford.
If you can get up
on if they start teams, early
Yeah, on these teams Hawaii that don't have explosive early. Offenses.
Yeah, this might go bad for Stanford real quick.
Also, underrated too. Hawaii is very their home field advantage is still home field advantage, I'm sure.
Yeah, jet lag is real. That ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, and I would imagine again they're gonna have some spirited play, given the circumstances on the islands and.
They gotta put on for the they gotta put on for all affected by the fires.
Also, not contrarian here, Hawaii's getting 28% differential on the money. 87% of the money right now is on Hawaii. 59% of the tickets are on Hawaii. If you're wondering where I get that information from, Action Sports Network, they'll track pretty much the market activity for you. This is not a promo, just let you know. If you want to get the app and follow along for anybody that bets, it's a really good app. But Hawaii definitely getting a lot of action. And the over-under is 59%. Believe it or not, 10% of the money is on the over on 6% of the bets, but I would have to stay away from an over under because they only scored 28 against Vandy last week.
True, but Vandy, that's on the road. Let rain delay, lightning delay.
Yeah, but Vandy ain't a fast paced offense. I'm pretty sure Stanford run a lot slower than Vandy.
Yeah, but Vandy's defense is better than Stanford's. My thing is Hawaii's going to put up way more points.
How many points do you think they put up? Give me a number.
45?
Jesus.
Well, if they put up 28, right, think about all the circumstances that happened last week. Still put up 28.
45.
Stanford's a whole step down. They're, what, year one coach?
I'm going to go with 37 and hope it's like 59. The ghost of Colt Brennan just comes down and possesses the quarterback. And I mean that with the utmost respect. I rest in peace.
Timmy Chang is suiting up.
Timmy Chang, he got me fired up, man. I love it. I really root for these programs that, you know, I was watching my early gambling days and just in general. Like, I'm the only person up at 11 o'clock watching San Jose State and San Diego State anyway. So might as well bring my boys back, Rainbow Warriors.
Also ties into the hot take. Hawaii makes a bowl this year.
All right, we're switching. I said no Desmond. That's what I said, no Desmond.
Look at the schedule. It's possible.
Yeah, anybody can get in now. You can get in with 5 wins, right? Isn't that how Florida got in?
No, I mean, Texas couldn't get in with 5 wins, so.
We're not bashing Texas yet. Noon.
Hold on.
Big Noon.
Prime on Big Noon.
Colorado versus number 17 TCU. TCU's only returning 10 starters, 3 on offense. That's crazy. Colorado, I didn't even bother looking because everybody knows how many people are coming back for that team. And I think it's just the mascot and even the band director got fired, I think.
Two players, too.
Yeah, but, you know, it's 20 and a half still. Let me double check. And obviously everybody knows Big Noon, what channel that comes on, so I'll need to tell you that. Yeah, still 20 and a half.
Gus Johnson.
Still 20 and a half. Over under is 63.5. Man.
And 40 of that will be TCU.
I just want to watch it. I don't want to bet it. I haven't bet a Coach Prime game. I know they had action when he was at the HBCU. I never took it. So me personally, I just want to see it. We all know I'm a big Sonny Dykes fan anyway.
Yeah. Which is he's the Padawan to your hero.
Oh yeah, he is actually. Exactly. I mean I wasn't correlating the two. I just like Sonny Dykes. But
I know things.
No, I know, but thank you for bringing that up. You just ruined the whole podcast because I take it back. I had a Mike Leach Facebook memory come up today and I put hide because I just didn't want to think about it, but here you go bringing it up. Thank you.
Well, they are doing a touching tribute to him at the beginning of the first game. Mississippi State is.
Yeah, I was not going to watch a Mississippi State game anyway. So, again, thank you.
Yeah, you don't want to watch Starkville. It's depressing. Don't look at it.
So, you got TCU covered?
Yeah. TCU might rename Colorado to Toby after this one.
Plays on the over, but nah. I gotta see it, man. That if I had to make if gun to my head, if I had to make a pick, I would go TCU. I'd lay it to 20.5. It's kind of odd that it hasn't went up a little bit higher. But it's been fairly even. 60% of the tickets on Colorado, 54% of the money on TCU. So it's one of those things where it's like we're gonna see pros versus Joes. Let's see. Ben said Colorado by 10. Bro, if Colorado, so just to give people an idea, Colorado is plus 650 right now, which I think is insane for a 20-point dog. But the reason why it's like that is because they're getting 98% of the money on the money line. Just because, I mean, in college sports, when you get a big-time dog, people are typically going to put like $50 on it or something like that. Cause I mean that 50 in the event that they win turns into 300 plus. So, I mean, it's not saying a lot. I don't usually harp on money.
It's almost line. A low risk, high reward.
Yeah. I don't usually harp on money line percentages just because 9 times out of 10, you're going to get the larger odds are going to take the more money. But like I said, it's been so much action on that as far as the money goes, that this plus 650, like that, like for a 20-point dog, man, like that's usually a lot higher. Just to give you an idea of how that works, Utah State is plus 25.5, 4-point difference against Iowa. Their money line is plus 1250. So take that.
I wonder what's the over under on that one.
The over under on that one is 45, actually. So. But yeah, just to give people an idea of like how like crazy that is, you got a team that's almost over three scores, and they're only plus 650. Like if I saw that, I would think they'd be at least 10-1. But again, they're taking so much action. That game again, big noon, and then we go down to number 3, Ohio State at Indiana. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I just put it in here for the Ohio State fans. Nobody cares about this game.
Right. Indiana's not covering. Tom Allen's on the hot seat.
Is he?
I mean,
and they're not. I said, is he? And they're not. I bet. Let's.
I mean, let's if do it's a- abysmal, like they don't. If it's a bad record, and they just don't look good. That seat gets real hot. If it's like a 5-7 and they look like they got some fight, Indiana's just going to be slouched to basketball season.
Let's do a friendly wager here. Friendly wager. I will bet you either your wings or your first drink when we meet up in the next couple weeks that Indiana covers.
Okay.
All right. Historically, Indiana is 8-4 against the spread since 2011. That's not why I took that. I just took that because I feel like Ohio State going to trick it up. That's all.
Dayer is coming out.
It just 30 points is a lot, man. 30 points and essentially, I mean, the offense probably can put up enough points. That's not an issue. That's not what we're talking about. But I just feel a backdoor cover, man. I just feel it coming. So friendly wager between us, and I'll make sure we talk about it on the next show. But I got Indiana. I'll take the 29.5. I won't even ask for the half point to 30. I'll just take the 29.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. I see, especially, you know, new quarterback in the system and everything. oh, God.
Don Julio shots. I should do that. But I'll hold off on
he's getting aristocrat If I lose, he's getting aristocrat.
I definitely wouldn't be drinking that. And plus, Marcus is going to meet us for that too. So I know for a fact we're not drinking aristocrat. No, I'm not
drinking aristocrat. I'm not drinking no aristocrat. That's like gasoline. That's not even, that's kerosene. That ain't even like 87. That's like,
we're going to stay away from my Jameson story. Boise State versus number 10 Washington. The more I look at it, the more I just don't think Boise State has a chance.
No, but they can make it interesting.
Not even for the cover. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Not even for the cover.
Oh, dang. You think it's going to be that bad?
They just don't do well in these spots, like, historically. Like, it's
the Chris Peterson Bowl.
It's yeah,
Peterson Bowl. Come on.
We're definitely playing for dad, but I don't know. I don't know. Again, not going to be on like any of my cards that I know of right now, but 14 and a half.
Is, I mean, it'll be fun to watch Penix show out, start his Heisman campaign.
Oh, and before I forget, sorry. The Indiana-Ohio State game is on CBS. That is a change. That is 3:30 on CBS. I know most people.
It is a mockery to the natural order.
No, I'm just saying most people are used to seeing it on Fox.
And it's still a mockery of the natural order.
Boise State and Washington will be on ABC at 3:30. So I made sure I wrote down where the games will be played, just because I think, especially as we get more and more into the TV deal realignment era, that's going to be important. Where people are playing. Any insight on Boise State? Why you think Boise State will cover and make it interesting?
I do think Boise State won. It's game one. Also, Washington is without their starting running back for a while. Mm-hmm. Boise State will be good against the run. If I read my notes right.
And you don't think that
Washington might air it out and just kill him?
Yeah, again, what I was talking about, they're 2-3 straight up. Okay. And those wins were probably during the Chris Peterson era. They were so long ago. But they're 0-5 against the spread all time versus Washington. I don't like it.
Oh, and in Washington? Yeah.
In Washington. Yeah. Like, I don't like it. But I also don't like it being 14 and a half either. So kudos to you if you play it. Boise is returning 14 starters, 9 on offense, 5 on defense. So there is that. A game that I really should have put more time into, but we already know where I'm going with this. UTSA, my Roadrunners, baby. Shout out to Ben. UTSA.
He's looking at his future head coach.
I know. versus Houston. We keep going back and forth on this, and it's a running joke, but I mean, more than likely it's his future head coach.
I mean, that is it a joke, or are we just, we know how this ends?
Who knows, man? They'll probably, once Sark gets fired, they'll probably be harping about Urban Meyer again. But UTSA is traveling to Houston to play them. Funny statistic here. Home team is 0-3 straight up and 1-2 against the spread. So oddly enough, there's no real home field advantage when these two teams meet, apparently.
And isn't UTSA the favorite? Well, it's
UTSA is favored by 1.5, taking 88% of the money on 56% of the tickets. And naturally, because you got Dana and Jeff in the same game, the over-under is at 59.5, taking 80% of the money.
Yeah. Also, do you really think Houston is, like, the roster-wise, are they Big 12 ready?
I don't think Dana's Big 12 ready. I think Dana just can't reach these kids, man. I don't think people are talking about it, but it's been about 2-3 years where I've just been concerned that he doesn't understand that this is not West Virginia, buddy.
No, you can't.
This ain't those kids. Like, you gotta you got to switch up how you coach a little. And that's not saying to cater to the kids, but adjust your coaching style to get the most out of your kids, out of your roster. I agree, Ben. I don't think he lasts the season. I'm surprised he's back. I really am.
Okay. I also have a scenario for you right here. Hear me out on this. If he gets fired, does West Virginia fire Neil to get Dana back?
I don't know why Neil's even still at West Virginia.
They're having money issues, and I don't think they
can. Yeah, I know. I mean, I know the money issues, but still, like, why would you want to stay at that job, bro? Like, it's not a good look.
That man said a check is a check. That's why. Okay. His mama called him and told him, boy, a check is a check.
I'd rather go be on staff for Nick Saban than head coaching at West Virginia right now, especially when they literally have told you that they don't have money. I don't know. I think Dana just doesn't care anymore. And I don't think I don't think him and West Virginia are on the best of terms either. And I think when this does end, and it probably will be soon.
You mean by October?
Yeah, either he's just gonna become some random sideline analyst contributor, or he's just gonna retire with his pride.
Special teams analyst at the University of Georgia, Dana Holgorsen.
By lower level, if you're referring to MAC or Sun Belt, I don't think he's built for that. No, I'm joking. I don't think his pride would allow him to do that. I mean, Houston is a step down. And I swear to you, I don't understand how he's still there. He really looked like he hated life last year. Like this dates back to De'Aaron King. Remember De'Aaron King when he was there in Houston? He didn't like it. Was like
he didn't like
it. Yeah, and Oliver was with Herman.
That was Herman.
Yeah, I definitely remember that because I faded Florida State when they played him in the bowl game. But De'Aaron King was supposed to be this like big deal pickup for them, and that was a failure. And then Caitlin
Toon transferred to Miami.
I keep calling him Caitlin Toon. Clayton Toon.
Oh God,
was a failure too. So it just hasn't clicked.
In Houston's a place. I'm sorry. You can get talent easy. You should be able to. All right, get a quarterback. Simple system. Just get some athletes on both sides of the ball. You should be able to at least keep Houston at 8 wins every year. I'm sorry.
Like, I mean, he should be able to, but again, like I said, I just think he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't care, and that is that matters, you know? Like, if you're talking about a head coach and keeping a program afloat and whatnot, I swear it just looked like he checked out, man. So,
Here's scenario number two. Jeff Traylor wins this game by a big margin. 2024, he's Houston head coach.
Jeff Traylor knows that
Texas. Austin's his destiny.
There's definitely bigger things waiting on him than Houston. Houston would be a lateral move. I mean, if it was for the money, just wait another year. Number 21, UNC visiting South Carolina. 7 of the last 9 games, 7 of the last 9 games have been won by South Carolina. South Carolina is 8-2 against the spread in non-conference, and they're 2-0 in openers with Beamer. I'm fading Mac. I mean, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't trust that defense at all.
I don't like it because I'm getting Spencer Rattler, but I gotta say I am borderline drinking the Kool-Aid with Shane Beamer.
I mean, I trust Shane Beamer. I think he's got them going in the right direction. The only thing is Spencer Rattler's very Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
It's not even a very. This is what he is. So yeah. I'm hoping that the coin flip is tails this game and I get the good Rattler.
Yeah, because last year he went from the Florida game where he was just like boo-boo to fool to Tennessee where it's like, oh, Rattler for Heisman again and ruining Tennessee's life.
The spread 2.5 right now. 72% of the money is on UNC. If I bet it, I'm just going to bet South Carolina money line and just live with it. I don't care about the spread. If it comes down to like a point or two, I'll just accept that. That's fine. But what I'm mostly looking at is the over-under 64.5 and the QB play of UNC, because I must have missed out, and I apologize, but Dustin May is pretty nice. And I guess – oh, Dustin May. God, I keep
– Drake.
Yeah, it's – sorry, Dustin May is baseball. Drake May is nice, and I'm just missing out.
All right, if UNC – all right, this is, what, two round one quarterbacks in a row that they have?
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't pan out. Like, they don't push the 9-win ceiling. Are they still rocking with Mac?
Probably. What's the next step for them? Like, it's not a program with like Florida State, Clemson expectations in the ACC. Like,
I mean, I think their expectation, especially with the 12 team playoff coming up, was at least to be in the conversation come November and December.
Ben says he's selling May, which means that May is going to be phenomenal.
Yep.
Phenomenal. But yeah, I don't think so. And plus, his recruiting has still been pretty decent, right? Like, he's
I mean, that's true, but North Carolina should, by default, have decent recruiting.
It's still considered a basketball school.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't think he's on the hot seat. And he's got roots in North Carolina, so.
I mean, but he's also older than, like, Jesus himself.
Yeah, they don't care about that either.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't. So,
yeah, that's true.
It should be fine. And for what it's worth, if I was a Carolina fan, I'd be disappointed if they lost here. But it's not it's not something that I would like really flip out over either, because again, it's 2.5-point spread, which basically means that this is a pretty even game. Matt Brown's not better than Napier. Switching over to the next game, we've got Coastal Carolina. Man, we're gonna.
Sorry, I'm having animal issues. Nah,
I'm about to fire you, bro. You gotta keep your. You can't keep your dog quiet.
I had to grab the charger.
Oh my gosh! I know. I would have. I'm gonna try to edit that out, but it's all right if I can't. Coastal Carolina versus UCLA. They are not ranked. Sorry. The big thing here: UCLA returning 16 starters. Coastal Carolina returning 14 starters, but they have a new head coach in Tim Beck. Tim Beck is their new head coach. Their head coach went to Liberty, which is unfortunate per se, but also cool because Liberty is not too far from me. So I'll probably end up going out there to support them. Everybody knows that I love my Chanticleers, and I want them oh so bad to go to UCLA and somehow win this game. It's hard to say what UCLA is going to have without DTR as far as the dynamic ability of their offense. I mean, DTR was nice.
Yeah, but they have the new five-star.
Yeah, and he's nice and
Cleveland
in the pros right now too. Yeah, yeah, like his stint in the pros is pretty decent too. But we're literally returning the majority of their team from last year. It'll probably be tough. You got a first year head coach going across the coast, like across the country. It's just a lot to ask, I think. And that spread, I do believe, was also at 14.5 and getting more action towards UCLA, but I'll double check. You got any thoughts on that? Because last year in this spot, you took South Alabama.
And I was correct when I did.
Yep.
I'm very curious to see, what's his name? DJ Moore? That the young man at UCLA, his name? I can't keep all these names in my head right. But, yeah, I'm very curious to see what he does, especially with Chip, you know, playing puppeteer. Opener, I don't think Coastal's going to cover. I just think Jamie's not there. It's not the same.
You disrespect my Santa Clara's. They're covering. I'm putting UCLA on upset alert just because I'm a homer. The money line on this game is plus 450. So that ain't going to be worth it for me to play it outright with so much. But
wait, hold on. I forgot Grayson McCall came back. Never mind.
Yeah, McCall back, man.
Never mind.
And they got
Redneck Riviera King is back. Never mind.
They got 14 starters returning.
Yep, they're covering. I lied. I'm sorry, everybody. I lied. Grayson McCall's back.
14 and a half. Give it to me, man. That's what I want. This game's 10:30 on ESPN. That will be the Saturday nightcap for me. And then we will get into the last two games on our slate. Sunday's primetime game, 7:30 ABC, number 5 LSU versus number 8. FSU neutral site game. Weather might be an issue here.
They're still playing. It's a category three.
No, they're gonna play. My understanding is they're gonna play. I don't see why they wouldn't, but it might hinder the game plan for both teams actually, and make it a little bit more of a power game than what they probably would have wanted to do in better conditions.
I thought the hurricane's going to hit Thursday.
Supposed to hit Thursday, but how much rain are they going to get? Like, that's the thing.
Oh, that thing will be – if it's playing there Sunday, they'll be fine.
All right.
Because it's way – Orlando, way over here, it's going up towards, like, the panhandle.
I don't trust Florida natives, and I don't trust Florida weather. So I will wait.
Don't trust Florida nothing.
Wait to see. Ben says take LSU because FSU can't beat a ranked team. Thank you, Ben.
Nope, FSU won.
I got FSU money line. I mean, I have to. I'm obligated. I'm not gonna lie. If FSU ain't in it, I'll definitely fade them. Again, case in point, the Houston Bowl. It's not the first time I've faded them. But in this particular case, I will give up gambling before I bet on Brian Kelly. So there's that.
Really?
Yeah, I can't stand Brian Kelly.
I mean, I can't stand him either. I think he's a total like waste of space, but he is a good coach.
It's very rare that I say this, but BK is a bad person. Like through and through.
Yes, he is. He might be like Palpatine or something, like just like, plays nice on camera, but I ain't never rooted for a man to fall into the Mississippi River more than Brian Kelly.
Just whatever you do for me, Coach Norvell, just don't run that toss play near the goal line again, ever. Just scrap that. LSU has a lot of talent, though, man. I mean, I'm not gonna gloss over that. This program is on their way back, according to a lot of people. So the expectation here, honestly, is two programs that are looking to reclaim old glory. Last year's matchup was kind of like,
we'll see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. this year expectations, FSU's a top 10 team. LSU's a top 10 team. Like, what are we going to do? Because this is a game, like I said, I think we had talked about in week zero a little bit, but this is a game that the winner puts themselves in a better, Florida State's case definitely puts themselves in a good position to sneak into the playoffs with their schedule. With LSU, it'll give them a buffer that if they do lose a game during the SEC and it gets a little tough on them, this will be a game that you can fall back on and it would mean something. So I think there's a lot at stake for this. And when they set these matchups up, I think this is what they're looking for.
And one thing I will be looking for in this game is Harold Perkins. From LSU talk, they moved him less as the edge rusher and an outside linebacker, so he's going to do more middle linebacker. So I'm curious to see how he transitions with that one, because that's a first rounder. That kid is like a top 10 pick in the first round in 2025. 26. I'm trying to do math, counting. Yeah, but no, he is, that kid is special. That kid is special.
Sorry, we know you got Florida education, so
thanks.
Last game. And again, I appreciate everybody, you know, listening to this. We're not gonna have hour-long shows hopefully throughout the year, but if we do, it's because we're just combining both and we are live. So Clemson, number 9 Clemson at Duke. 15 returners for Clemson, 18 returners for Duke. Not saying that Duke's going to win, because I just can't bring myself to say that. But maybe a first half covered by Duke.
Yeah, I can see that. Also, the one thing with Duke, a lot of – they had an easy schedule last year, so I think a lot of people are higher on them because, you know, they beat a lot of teams who were just meh. You beat, which, I mean, I can't fault them for, because you got to beat who you got to beat who's on the schedule, but you ain't beat nobody nowhere near Clemson's caliber. And I'm sorry, even if Klubnik is not it, Clemson still has enough everywhere else to take care of business.
Yeah, they do. And again, just going off of last year's games, man, they just started out so slow. Expectations.
Katie Riley calling plays.
Yeah, expectations are sky high for Clemson, as they should be. They are one of, maybe like 5 programs in the nation right now we would call a machine. I would say Clemson, Alabama, obviously, Georgia, Ohio State, and now Michigan has kind of pushed themselves in that conversation. Like, you expect them
– 3.
Well, I'm only giving 3. You expect them to compete for a playoff spot. Like, I mean, I think Michigan has earned that title for right now. It's not as strong as Ohio State, Georgia, Bama.
Yeah.
But literally, those have been our 4. If you add Clemson, those have basically been our 4 the majority of our college playoff lives. So the expectation is like the ACC is theirs to lose. And again, I'm not definitely not picking them to trick it up against Duke, but in the event that they were to trick it up against Duke, geez, just throw the whole program away.
Oh God, if they do, that Dabo press conference will be legendary.
Yeah. I'm not putting
Will it be in God's name, image, and likeness?
I'm definitely not putting them on upset alert. No. So any game that we didn't cover that you want to give a quick shout out to for people to check it out?
Yes. UConn and NC State. UVA transfer Brennan Armstrong will start at NC State. UConn made a bowl game last year. Jim Mora, head coach, pretty good head coach. He has that program actually going upwards. They possibly have, mind you, super easy schedule this year. They could possibly pull off 7 or 8 wins this year. And I have them upsetting NC State at home early. They have a lot. They got some good transfers in. They got a lot of returning talent on offense. And they actually have a lot of returners on defense as well. And they were pretty good against the run. Yeah. Also, Brennan Armstrong's not that good.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I said what I said.
I usually call you crazy. But, again, that South Alabama call last year was pretty good. So I'm going to let you rock.
No, I like Jim Mora. I mean, can't fade him for what he did at UCLA. And, yeah, they did – all right. Initial recruiting class was – but they got some good transfers, including that tight end from Michigan, Lewis Henson.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's nice big body, agile, kind of like a Keithy, but not as good.
Yeah, he's
value Keithy.
I don't have any upset alerts that I feel strongly enough about to promote this week. But next week, I probably will have some.
Honestly, you will.
The only one I still say is probably the best value, but still risky, is going to be Florida in the event that Rising doesn't play. And if you bet Florida, like me, I bet Florida early. if he's announced that he's going to play, and then in the first quarter or like first couple, yeah, I was saying the first, but in the first couple drives, the first couple drives, if he looks like he's at least 99% of what he was before, I'll just hedge it. And that's my recommendation for everybody. If you,
I'm not trying to see like an hour and a half long injury stint because they don't took this boy's leg off.
If you are not sure how it's going to play out in college because you don't know who's starting and whatnot, just pay attention to the line a little. Again, this line's been at 6.5 all week. If Rising truly wasn't going to play, or there was a good chance he wasn't going to play, we would have seen plenty of action. Nobody really knows. So I'm going to just go with my gut. Anticipate,
Rising don't know. Yeah.
Anticipate he ain't going to play. And if he does play, he's not going to be healthy, and hope I can get some value there or steal some value. But good luck on your plays. We'll be back next week to recap how Indiana backdoor covered, and I'm going to get 20 wings on Patrick.
Also, remember, if Florida wins, I'm overreacting. If we lose, I have a list of excuses longer than a grocery list.
Oh, man. I fully anticipate that you'll have a list of excuses, and I will find a new co-host within the next 24 hours of that loss.
Yeah, we're on a writer's strike. You ain't getting no one new.
All right, Patrick, thank you. This has been the IBN College Football Podcast. We appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you next week.
Peace. Mm-hmm.